With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
White Sox fans, I'm Brett Ballantini. Believe it or not, I'm hosting Southside Sox. Down on the Farm podcast, number 8. The guy who's always with me, can't shake him, it's Darren Black. He's with us. Thank you for joining, Darren. A little bit of administrative work here. We were off last week. Darren had a little bit of congestion. Listen, it's COVID protocol. We did have to put him on IL just for a couple days. He got tested. Everything's cool. He's back to full health. As you can see, he's smiling, hatless. So he's letting the freak flag, fly. Not representing Charlie. He's still waiting for the Cannonballers cap. Canapolis, would you get on that cap for him? Because he needs the candy cap. That is really the key to getting probably at least within 20 games under 500. Sorry, Canapolis. Just sort of got a giggle. But anyway, hey, everything's good. We did miss last week, but we're back. We're going to have a fun little show for you here with a little bit of an eye toward the trade deadline. We're going to tackle that probably in the second half. We're going to run real quick, Darren, through, I guess, maybe some of our weekly MVPs. Now we're talking about 5 affiliates because the newly named Austin City Limits League is in play. Arizona Complex League is underway. The White Sox entry, they only have one entry. Not really sure why they don't need more teams, Darren, but the one entry is playing about 500 ball, a couple nice performances. But really, when it comes down to it, this is just, I mean, this is like high school stats. I mean, it's nothing to really get too excited. Of all the affiliates, this is the one to get least excited about in terms of performance, in terms of wins and losses, because it's just these guys really have been away from the game for a while.
Yeah, most of these, or I shouldn't say most, but a lot of them are just high school draft picks from 2020, and then a lot of them are just making their first appearance stateside from the Dominican Summer League. Everyone is probably much younger than anybody listening to this podcast. Some of them were born in 2002, so if you don't want to feel bad about your age, don't go looking at the ACL White Sox. But yeah, most of these guys are really young. You won't see them anytime soon, but there's some decent names on that team.
Anything jump out at you? Well, no. Let's forget. Come on, they played like 4 games. Why don't the White Sox have, given that they've lost Great Falls? I know you can't necessarily turn these things on a dime, but I don't know. They haven't played minor league ball since 2019. Why is there only one? Why do the White Sox not have more minor league teams? Why is there only one team in Arizona?
Yeah, I'm not – it kind of makes sense right now, but the draft is next week, and then it's like, well, are you really going to move some of these guys straight to Canapolis, like how they normally would do it, like round 1, 2, 3 guys, all their college guys? Are they just going to skip Arizona totally? Because it really is a jumbled-up group already. Most of the time when you're playing rookie leagues, I was about to say AZL, but ACL and the Dominican Summer League. It's not really guys getting everyday playing time, and unless it's like Luis Robert or somebody like that. So there's going to be a lot of mixing and matching. Not sure why they don't have an ACL 1 and 2 team. I would prefer that, but that's what they've decided to do. Maybe they just don't want these young guys to get injured and play too much. Because it seems like injuries are a huge problem in other places. But I would prefer 2 teams, 2 rookie teams.
Yes, this week on the ACL program, we have Logan Glass will be opening up for the Benjamin Baileys, will be headlining this week on ACL. Okay, well, let's skip to we'll have more to talk about these guys. Obviously, there's some really intriguing names. Benjamin Bailey sort of was demoted, I guess you'd say, to Arizona. He's not the only guy. Dilmer Mejia was playing. He was playing higher than Canapolis, and he's pitching there. So there's some interesting names, and it's certainly going to be stuff worth talking about. But that said, let's move to Canapolis, where they are still more than 20 games below 500. One day, your prediction, your confidence will be rewarded at some point, Darren. But you had an intriguing observation in the weekly write-up, which is linked in this podcast post and is on site this morning. And that is that Brian Ramos, who is the weekly MVP, is a guy who you consider maybe to be as good or as impressive or more so than Jose Rodriguez. And as a top Jose Rodriguez fan, I take great offense to that. But no, really, I would like to know, because clearly those two guys are great talents. And I'm intrigued to know sort of how they do compare and the things you see in Ramos that makes him maybe even somebody to be more excited about.
Yeah, so Jose Rodriguez gets most of the attention, and deservedly so. He had a really hot May. That's when the season started this year. But he doesn't really kind of slump normally, but he's pretty limited in like his bat-to-ball skills, at least right now, in what he can do. He doesn't walk a ton, so BABIP is going to be really important, and he has gap power. He gets a lot of doubles and triples. But he doesn't really have that home run power. And that's where Brian Ramos has kind of sets himself apart. Ramos actually has a better WRC plus OPS than Jose Rodriguez right now, which is why that's kind of crept up on me. Because sure, like Jose Rodriguez, middle infielder, like really hitting like really big doubles all the time. But Ramos has better plate discipline, doesn't strike out. As much as you would think a 19, 20 year old would in Kannapolis, and actually walks about two times more than Jose Rodriguez to go along with that power. I don't think Ramos is ever going to be a guy that's going to hit 300, but that power and the ability to just get walks kind of outweighs everything else. And in the month of June, up till July 4th, he had a 142 WRC plus. So he's just really hitting the ball well. And we might talk about him later for trade pieces. I don't know, but he's just doing really well at a great time right now. And he's doing it at an age appropriate level too. Mm-hmm. So it's not just like a Yermín Mercedes last season or 2 years ago when he was playing in like Winston-Salem and AA and just hitting the crap out of the ball. This is a guy that's actually age appropriate.
Ramos was, or I thought was, a third baseman. He's playing second base, and is he DHing significantly? But
he's been DHing significantly. I'm not sure if that's the scouts say that he's a pretty decent defender. I don't know if he has some injury issue or anything, or if he's just kind of lost that defensive ability or whatnot. But he's been playing mostly DH and then second. And I think he's only gotten in a couple of games at third. So he's not at his natural position right now. So that's why Jose Rodriguez has been more at short recently. But that's where he's at right now, second base.
And the fact he's been challenged with that, however big a challenge it is for him, not necessarily affecting his offensive production, has got to be, even at a low A level, that's got to be a pretty nice sign too.
Yeah, no, whenever a player, any level, including Major League Baseball, and they just switch positions, that's a lot of added pressure. That's a lot of new things. And if they're still doing well, that's fantastic. And the White Sox seem to just kind of just be hitting, like, it's the only really good thing that they've been doing defensively is just kind of putting guys out there and they're still hitting the ball well and maybe not doing too terribly at defense. We can see that in both corner outfielders in Chicago right now with Gavin Sheets getting a lot of right and then Andrew Vaughn getting all of left. So it's just kind of an odd thing, but these guys can hit, and that's more important than playing defense most of the time, because there's a spot where you can put the guys that can't really play defense.
All right, let's skip before we take a break and get into the chunkier and more, even more intriguing portion of Southside Sox on the Farm podcast number 8, Darren. Let's briefly stop in Winston-Salem, where we're going to talk a little bit about Yolbert Sanchez. And I guess my real question here is, because he's had a pretty sustained hot streak now for probably about a couple weeks at least offensively. How much do we need to take that with a grain, given the fact that he is he's definitely not young for the level? Should that be tempered, or because this is really some of his first stateside action, does that sort of cancel out? And should we be still pretty excited that he's putting together some offense, which maybe we didn't expect him to be able to produce?
Yeah, no, I think we should still take like good heart that he's actually hitting the ball well. Now it's mostly singles, not really a lot of power there, but we knew that already. We knew that they didn't have much power there. And he's still not striking out a ton. It's gone up since he's been in rookie league, but you do have to take into account that he's 24, going up against guys that are 2, maybe 3 years younger, so he's more mature. He's just, and he's was known as a more polished guy when they signed him too. So you got to take that into account. But he's still getting the bat on the ball. He's still doing what he, what scouts said that he would do with the bat, maybe a bit better than what was previously known. I'm not really sure why he's still in Winston-Salem at this point, unless they don't really think he's viable in the majors. But then I don't know. I don't really know the reason why they would have signed him if that was the case. But they should at least give him a chance in Double A sooner than later to at least prove to us that he can hit guys that are probably more relatable in skill level and age level to him in Double A. And I hope they do that soon, coming up with the All-Star break.
Okay, Darren, you obviously had some time off just sitting in that hotel room, nothing to do while you're in the COVID protocol. So a lot happened while you were gone, while you were at least briefly sidelined. And we're jumping right to the major league team here to say, listen, Gavin Sheets, your guy, got called up and just hit the ground running, cranking it. And Jake Berger had a pretty nice start as well, given that he was sort of pressing into action with the Yoan Moncada injury. What are your thoughts about the fact that both of these guys have acquitted themselves fairly well right from the jump?
Yeah, well, first off, it's fantastic that both of them are up. It's kind of odd that they're up for these reasons. Jake Berger is up after a couple Achilles injuries, and then no one really expecting him to be in the majors at all this season. Just because, you know, he hadn't played professional baseball since 2017.
He just finished his second month.
Yeah, and he hits the cover off the ball. And then Gavin Sheets, the guy they drafted out of first base that couldn't play another position, is playing another position in right field. And, I mean, he doesn't look the most comfortable out there, but he hasn't made anything he hasn't made a terrible mistake yet. Mm-hmm. That's to be seen, obviously. But he's also doing really well with the bat. He's doing things that he did in AAA all along. Not really striking out, getting the bat on the ball. He's showing a bit more power right now, and that's what he's always supposed to do. I don't know, like maybe it's because of the bat, maybe he's just like more loose now, not really sure, but he's looking real good. Jake Berger, I mean, he was hustling to third. That was fun. I'm glad the Achilles didn't go on that run, but so that's at least fun, but just for all the bad they've been playing these past couple weeks, those two guys have been really just kind of awesome spots so far.
We have a tendency to see the weaknesses in the system and the shallowness of the system. And I understand that when we find out that no team has had more of their own first rounders playing actively this season than the White Sox. Okay, I mean, I know that's a little bit of a trivia question, but at the same time, there's something there. Yeah. And that's pretty heartening. I mean, you do have to at least give a brief, if not an extended tip of the cap to the White Sox front office and a player personnel for some of the moves they made. I understand some of it's just maybe, you know, some of it may be dumb luck too, but listen, it's not easy to get a guy into the major leagues. And the fact that White Sox have two handfuls worth really. And some quickly, you got the 2020 first round pick who's been there for second season. it's pretty impressive, right?
Yeah, I mean, all that is, and it's not like you do have like a Zach Birdie who's just kind of there to be an extra arm, but obviously Jake Berger's done well in his past couple of games and definitely deserved to be called up from AAA. Then obviously Tim Anderson is in that equation as well. So you've got guys that actually deserved it, and then you've got the Zach Collins story where it's been like, well, is he really that good at catching? And now, yeah, he's actually kind of good at catching. And now he might have gone from trade piece to you kind of need to keep him for the rest of the season with a potential Grandal injury. But yeah, kudos to them. They definitely deserve a bit more credit than normal, but I still would like them to use some of that capital that they have to get a bit better in the spots that they need trade-wise by the deadline.
That is a fantastic segue, Darren Black. See, he wasn't off at all. It's like, who knows? Maybe you did talk to somebody else. Maybe this really is Farm Podcast number 9, and I just am not aware that it got posted or whatever. We're going to take a quick break, Darren. I have a question about Jake Berger that we'll take to start the second half, but then we're going to talk a little bit about trade pieces and such with the system. So everybody sit tight. We will be back in just a minute.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey, guess what? We're back. That was a fast minute. We are back. Darren Black is back with us after his very brief coronavirus scare. You sneeze these days, and I'm sorry. It's just we follow the Major League team, SB Nation, Southside Sox, and we got to sit you down for a couple days. And I'm sorry you were a little bored in the hotel room. I hope the minibar was well stocked enough. I got to watch a lot of ball, some of it not so good, but good to have you back. Glad you're feeling better. And so, of course, everybody, Darren Black is back with us. We're talking about the system. And in the second half of this podcast, we're going to talk a little bit. We're going to have an eye toward what sort of Darren alluded to, and that is maybe how the White Sox can perhaps put a couple names together that we talk about sometimes weekly in a package that might make the Major League team better, because ultimately that's what this is about. We don't need to be AAA champions or low A champions. And this year we're not going to be low A champions, even though Darren Black still has faith. But let's talk first about the fact that in the most recent Southside Sox podcast, we talked and we were basically handicapping, is it going to be Tim Beckham getting called up or is it going to be Jake Berger? It did seem like it was going to be one of the two, unless Yoan Moncada, for once wasn't, rolling around on the ground like Alcy Ramirez and actually just shook it right off and played and started in the very next game. Well, it turns out obviously is hurt enough to be sitting out for a little bit. And they did need somebody. Now, of course, the biggest pro for Berger was that he was on the 40 man already, but I really did think, and I think the vote was 3-2 that it would be Tim Beckham. What was your thought, and did they make the right move?
Well, 2020 hindsight, I think they made the right move, but I didn't before that happened. I wanted him to be up just because it would have been a really nice story to have that happen. But I really don't have much faith in his defense. And I didn't think they were going to send down Yermín Mercedes. But with the demotion of Yermín Mercedes, he was kind of the just natural guy to go into that spot because he probably is going to be a DH for the rest of the season if they don't improve in that kind of like backup corner infielder DH kind of guy. But so far, I think you just roll with him until you prove that he can't do it. Or at least can't readjust to whenever the pitchers get up to his speed. But it looks good right now. I hope Yermín gets back to it when he's down there, or at least starts catching a bit more, because that'd be nice if he could rediscover that. But he looks great right now, so I'll let him do his thing.
Some of the thinking is with guys, and we've alluded to this with Mike Rodolfo still being in Birmingham, but I would say one of the cons against having moved Berger up and maybe going for Beckham, a guy who you can sort of burn if he comes up for a couple of weeks, you can just get rid of him. It doesn't matter. He's not part of the future. Berger could hurt trade value. And the truth is he's mashing so well at Charlotte. If he was a trade chip, you'd want to keep him there. Is this an indication? Obviously you got to serve the major league team and major league wins first and foremost, if not primarily. But is this an indication that if there was a lot of hot action on Berger that he might still be in Charlotte?
Yeah, I would kind of lean that way. I think right now, even just taking a step back and just looking at it, I think anybody that's maybe played at all for the White Sox this year, they are not looking to trade. Because they're on 40 mans, they've got experience with the team. And B, like a guy like Jake Berger, Jimmy Lambert, Jonathan Stever, they are like pretty highly regarded prospects, especially Stever and Lambert, but they are not having fantastic seasons right now. They're still controllable for a while.
Right.
So that's why I always separate Mike Rodolfo, because this is his last 40-man season. They have to either keep him on the 26-man roster or DFA him next year. So he's kind of in limbo. But I think if you just have that controllability right now, you're going to be on the team for the long haul. And they're able to keep Berger, Stever, Lambert for another year or two.
Yeah.
So I think they stay put. I think if best case scenario, Jake Berger, gives the Sox an opportunity to say, we don't need a DH. That'd be fantastic. I don't think that's going to happen. I think they still will probably need to get a guy, but I don't think they're going to trade Jake Berger to get that guy. Mm-hmm. I think they're probably going to be trading somebody that's in Winston-Salem or Kannapolis, somebody like that.
Okay. So the challenge I gave you, which was quite a challenge, again, right, coming right off of the inactive list, and that is I threw out five. Maybe we'll talk about more. Maybe we'll talk about fewer. I'm going to guess we've already maybe referred to the number one guy, but I'm curious to know who you think are the most likely trade chips, the guys who might be most likely to move in a deal. It would seem pretty clear the White Sox are going to make a deal of some sort. Maybe it's going to be just super minor. You'd think they'd make something before any sort of waiver. I don't even remember how the waiver thing has changed. If there is even a waiver date, or it's all the same date.
I don't
now.
Think there is a August, whatever, 30th, 31st.
Yeah, that's gone now.
Yeah. I think it's just all July.
Yeah. So I guess that's just a trivial, but it won't allow the White Sox to punt and make it just an even more minor.
Yeah.
They're going to have to make a trade.
There won't be an Alex Rios trade.
So, that said, what are some names that jumped to mind when, you know, I threw that out at you as you know, not to say we haven't talked about this maybe in the last few episodes, but who's jumping out at you as a guy that would be really dangled that could help the White Sox, even in a minor way, even like, a platoon, like a lefty platoon bat? It doesn't have to be a major way.
Yeah, so we just talked about him. I still think it's Mike Rodolfo because he's still highly regarded prospect, and he's one of the few highly regarded prospects that are actually doing really well this season. He's still hitting the ball really well, not these past couple weeks, but he's still showing a lot of power. His plate discipline is not so fantastic, but the power, and he's still walking about 10% of the time, so he's kind of making up for it there. And then after that, I'm really just kind of looking at the younger guys, like how I mentioned earlier. If you're AAA on the 40 man, which is where like the Stevers, Lamberts, obviously Berger and Sheets are, and those probably would be your next, like, hey, if someone's looking to turn around a quick rebuild or just kind of see if they could put somebody out in right to replace some older guy, like if you're the Orioles or Pirates, I think you would want to look towards the lower system for that. And honestly, it's the two people that jumped out to me at first, after Jared Kelly, because right now Jared Kelly's hurt, so I don't know if any team would want to trade for him right now.
Right.
It's Brian Ramos and Jose Rodriguez. They might be more like high leverage lottery tickets than anything, just because they're 19, 20 and in low A, but they're doing so well and they are showing every positive thing with the bat right now. Like Jose Rodriguez has a very lively bat. If you have not seen clips of him from our guy Daniel Victor at all, like that bat head just comes out firing every time. And it looks awesome when he hits a double in the gap. He's also got really good speed. I don't think he's going to end up being a shortstop, but they're really trying hard to make him a shortstop. And then obviously we talked about Brian Ramos earlier, really doing well this past couple months. And then after that, you kind of have to go straight towards the pitching. Andrew Dahlquist has not looked great this season. He still has kind of a walk issue. It's 13% of the batters he faces are walks, and he's getting, I don't know whether to call it lucky or unlucky, because he has a 411 BABIP. That's very unlucky. But then about 50% of the batted balls he has are fly balls, but he has not allowed a home run. So his season could be much worse, like ERA wise, than 6 right now. But it's just not. And he is supposed to have advanced command, doesn't really have it right now. The plus side of it is he has pretty good breaking pitches, a curveball slider. I wish there was more data on that because I don't know what pitches he's getting crushed on. I usually just assume it's the fastball at that age because if you're not really throwing hard and he's not a hard thrower. So that's just kind of how that comes down to. But those four guys are kind of the top guys. And then after that, it's kind of like, well, if someone kind of likes Lenny and Sosa maybe a bit more than others, just kind of, and then after that, it's kind of that.
Okay. To me, you've grouped those four guys, but really seems like Miker's a different case because his clock is ticking. First of all, let me betray how ignorant I am about sort of some of this stuff and ask you, if Miker was traded, What is portable with his control? Is his receiving team still going to be as limited in terms of what they need to do with him? Does something open up where they have any more control with what they can do with him?
Yeah, no. So that's why he probably isn't worth as much as, like, if he was just Jake Berger with the same optionality and stuff, he'd be worth a bit more. Yeah. But even if he's traded, whatever team that is, we'll still have to decide, do we DFA this guy or do we keep him on the major league roster? Right. I'm guessing if he is traded, he'll just be on whatever team's major league roster just to see what he can, what he can do. I think that'd be smart. But yeah, so no matter what, whatever team has to decide if he's going to be in the majors in 2021, 2022.
So that's what I was getting at, even though he seems to be like the most obvious, and he's not an unattractive candidate, of course.
Yeah, no.
It will break Tommy Barbie's heart when he gets traded. He's really a guy that's, he gets dealt and it's for one of those, I think I made an allusion to, you know, a real small need, maybe like a platoon lefty bat who's ready to plug right in. He's not even going to be part of like an Adam Frazier deal. Now, these other three guys, all seem to be, particularly Rodriguez and Ramos, maybe the two most exciting talents in the system. Those guys being chips in your mind, is that that's not toward just fulfilling sort of this small rent-a-player need? We would be looking for more in a deal like that.
Yeah, for those guys, it wouldn't be like I would obviously love Eduardo Escobar, but I wouldn't trade Mike Rodolfo and one of those guys for Eduardo Escobar as a rental. But to go back to that, that's kind of why it's a bummer that Kelly is hurt and wasn't having a good season. That's why it's a bummer that Benjamin Bailey was having a bad year. That's why it's a bummer that Matthew Thompson hasn't been pitching well recently and having a bad year. Like their top guys that I would have said, yeah, like if you can try to get some actual good controllable Adam Frazier type guy, I would have gone straight to those guys and said, yeah, that's fine with me. They're going to have to play more on the margins with this. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure the Dodgers would just love to have Jose Rodriguez or somebody. Obviously they're not a seller, but a team, if any rebuilding teams are thinking like that, I think any of those guys would love Rodriguez or Ramos because Ramos is a great bat. They're obviously not top 100 prospects, but they're also like pretty good at what they do. So they're not. Like I'm not saying like they're going to trade Luis Gonzalez and get like some amazing all-star.
Well, and let me take that a step further. Basically what we're talking about here, because this, you've just given us, you've laid out your headline talent to go in a trade. It's unrealistic for us to expect anything of real significance with what they have to deal, particularly when you throw in the fact that some of the guys they might've been able to package, Jose Rodriguez and Jared Kelly or something, I don't know, from a legit guy who might be controllable for a couple of years, you know, not just a rent a player, not just maybe an older, more veteran player. They really don't have the pieces. We can't really expect, I mean, of course there's maybe there magic can happen, but we can't realistically expect a significant trade with what the White Sox have to offer.
No, again, the prospects that are fantastic are on the major league roster. And that's awesome that a lot of them did work out, but you've got obviously the Rutherfords or the Gonzalez's, those guys that didn't work out, like Alec Hansen, like I always forget about him, but Alec Hansen should be included in that. That just didn't work out. And I don't think, especially now, like with the Grandal, maybe injury, we don't know what's happening. Maybe Zach Collins could have been a guy. Some people would have wanted to trade. I would not have agreed with that, but I wouldn't have been opposed to trading Gonzalez for a better corner outfielder or just a better hitter, just playing better hitter at second or DH. But now you got to kind of keep them, and now you got to look towards the lower minors to really replace your guys. Because heading into the season, it was Vaughn, Kopech, Madrigal, Crochet were your top four prospects. Three of them are indispensable to your championship team, and the other one is out for the season. So you can't really do anything about that.
Yeah. And the guys who are more indispensable now, a guy like Vaughn has proven himself fairly adequately at the major league level. Certainly very early, small sample size returns, both Berger and Sheets certainly don't seem like they don't belong, at least in some sort of role. Yeah. But that said, you've got these guys. I mean, obviously, certainly Michael Kopech and Garrett Crochet are maybe different cases. Certainly Kopech is. And then you've got guys like the Vaughns, who I think are certainly highly valued, and they'd be highly valued around the league. But mm-hmm. you can't make a deal. I mean, there's not really much you can do in dealing from the major league roster. Even if the Pittsburgh Pirates saw appeal in Andrew Vaughn, hey, this guy's a monster hitter. He could be our first baseman for 12 years. It's hard to imagine how those deals are made, whether the White Sox are even willing to do it, which they probably wouldn't be wise to do. There's just not a lot of puzzle pieces coming together that would bring back significant headline kind of talent, correct?
Yeah, correct. And to go along with that, coming into the season, their best group of guys would have been relievers. Mm-hmm. And now right now, I'm not sure if anybody would kind of agree with that any longer, with Matt Foster not doing so well, right. Cody Hoyer not doing so well. So maybe someone would have said, oh, that guy looks interesting. Let's just improve somewhere else. But then again, you also have to look at AAA and say, if you trade, if you go back to Zach Collins, if you traded Zach Collins for a second baseman, then are you really comfortable with Sebi Gonzalez coming up, who's striking out 43% of the time in Charlotte, to be your backup catcher and possibly starting catcher if Grandal is hurt? So you just kind of always got to keep that in the back of your mind for guys that are position groups that they don't really have a ton of depth to them. Like right now, outfield, they have depth. It's just three guys are hurt. So then they're already stretched thin there just coming from that. But if sounds like Angle's going to come back this week, Eloy keeps jumping the gun on everything and really making us really happy, and then wondering, well, what is he talking about?
He just shows up in the city they're playing next.
Yeah. It's like, all right, Eloy, well, hopefully you're back. And then we're not really sure what's going on with Robert. But if two of those guys are back and healthy, maybe by the last week of July, maybe you say, okay, thank you, Gavin Sheets, for playing really well for a month. Mm-hmm. Maybe someone would want you in that kind of situation. But that's more wait and see to see if everyone's actually healthy and ready to go.
Yeah, it's a little frustrating because we want to talk about deals, and it does seem like what we need to be angling for is something pretty minor. And then it starts to get scary on the White Sox side, because it's like, I think you said Jose Rodriguez to get Eduardo Escobar. That would make my head explode. I would start to cry. And I'm not a prospects hoarder, but it's like, okay, come on, really, really. But I mean, that's not an unreasonable thing to bring up. And who knows, it could happen. So that's the scary part of the way. Do you feel forced to make a move? And then, if there's enough bidders out there, then are you going to have to come up with something that might be more than you want to give up because you're getting scared and you're not able to beat, Detroit and Minnesota. And so things are starting to get scary, even though you got a big division lead.
And it's just been kind of weird just in Major League Baseball this season, because 2 weeks ago, I would have said the Cubs are not going to trade people. And now it looks like they probably should. And I would have said the Reds definitely were going to trade Tucker Barnhart, maybe see if they could get Joey Votto somewhere else. And now they're in second in their division. And then the NL East is all just the weirdest division in baseball. You don't really know who's going to win that at that point. There's not a ton of teams with a ton of guys to trade. And in this day and age of baseball, where there are clear teams tanking, Bob Nightingale wrote about how the Sox are looking at Trevor Story. I don't think they have anything to get Trevor Story. But in Colorado, it's literally, you would just kind of want Herman Marquez or Trevor Story. There's not a ton of guys going around right now, because there's two wild card teams now. They're really bad teams that don't really have any good players, because they're doing that on purpose. It's just odd.
I remember those days.
Yes. Not too long ago for the Sox. Yo, Yolmer Sanchez.
No offense, Yilmer. Darren doesn't know it, but his assignment, because you know, when you go on the COVID injured list, you know, when you're just forced to sit for a couple of days, it's just a formality. It's formality. We've seen it happen with the Sox, right? But you get a little dossier because you get homework. Let's face it, you got to keep working. You're getting paid. You got to keep working. So the next time, if it was to happen again. And there's just a little congestion that, you know, we just got to be real careful with. In his dossier, Darren's assignment, he doesn't know it yet. His assignment is going to be to put together a Bryce Harper deal. So, you know, he'll.
I will give the Phillies the entire White Sox top 30.
I was going to say they could put together a whole second Arizona team and just trade it to Philadelphia. Yeah. Jose Arrieta says, I'm demoted? What? But anyway, but still, hey, no laughing. That will be your assignment. So just don't get sick again. Okay, well, Darren Black is back healthy. He is with us every week on the farm. Obviously, the whole podcast shuts down if he's not around. So he's a core player. Yeah. He's the Bryce Harper of the Southside Sox on the farm podcast. Next edition, we should have Sean Williams with us. He's going to talk. We're going to talk a little bit more about Austin City Limits down there in Arizona. He will probably have some photographs already. He will actually have seen, I think, at least one game. I think he's been trying to hit about a game a week. So that'll be something fun in our next edition. And I suppose the theme of, you know, who can you trade? Who do you trade? It might come up again. I suppose we have this month to talk about it, even though
yeah. Busy month for trades.
It is a little bit more, and you're not going to get these crazy, you know, Darren's talked all of us down already just saying, hey, but there's not much we can really get. So just, you know, temper.
My hypothetical Bryce Harper trade will not be Luis Gonzalez and Blake Rutherford.
What? but wait, somebody told me Blake Rutherford was a top 100 prospect once, a top 50 prospect once. What? it is funny to think that, you could probably put together like a top 10 and wonder if you could get Bryce Harper for that. But anyway, again, it's still, you got to figure it out. You have to figure it out. I'm sorry. Yeah. That's going to be the challenge. So again, don't cough again, because if we hear it, we got to put you in the hotel again, restock the mini bar and get you on that Bryce deal. Because, you know, clearly Rick Hahn in the front office there listens to us and realizes and respects our wisdom, including the fact that you're tempering enthusiasm here, because we can't be talking Trevor Story. We can't really be talking Adam Frazier. It's great to talk about, but who's Eloy's in that deal? I mean, who's going for these guys who we have control over for a little bit of time and who can make a big time impact, not a little, you know, platoon impact. I want to talk, I want to dream on exciting trades, but I mean, we also have to be realistic. And the truth is, as you point out, listen, we've got so many guys in the majors now. And, you know, some of them are, you know, they're, I don't say role players, but I mean, you know, Jake Berger is not probably ever going to be a great defender. So in that sense, in the majors, he's a role player. So, and it's a mash unit still. So it's not even full strength. You know, if it was a full strength team, we'd be able to flex a muscle. And guys like Gavin Sheath and Jake Berger would be mashing at AAA, perhaps as guys who might be attractive to teams more so than.
But now the Sox need them to perform in the majors.
In right field, in left field, at third base,
wherever.
Catcher. Can Berger catch? Yeah. So anyway, we will be talking about, you know, not exclusively, but we'll have a focus on Arizona next edition. But we might even squeeze, because got to get my money's worth out of this guy. We may squeeze two in the course of the next 7 days and get right back and talk a little bit more, just the regular affiliate rundown as well, and less focus on Arizona. But we will be doing that soon, probably sooner than a week from now. But again, everybody, thank you for listening, reading Darren's nightly updates twice a week. Get a big chunk of them. I don't know when you're going to turn around your season, Darren. I'm the only one with a winning record covering this lousy organization. Step it up.
Must have gotten some Kannapolis rain delays in there.
Yeah, right. Kannapolis just has never played on Saturday. And of course, the weeklies and the monthlies. Appreciate you doing that, Darren. It's a very popular feature. And check out this morning's. It is the latest week in the White Sox organization. And we'll see. Maybe there'll be a new trade rumor to talk about with Sean next edition, or next week when we meet up again. But thanks, Darren, for joining. Welcome back. Glad you're healthy. I hope that Cannonballers cap comes soon so they can turn their season around and you can be, you don't have to be capless, because that's not fun. That's not fair. It's not fair. All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening. And hey, more Southside Sox podcasts, I'm sure, just right around the corner. Thanks for listening.